Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to our daily scripture reflection. Today, Monday, March the 20th, the Catholic community honors Saint Joseph today, and I want to read a gospel passage that is being read throughout the world today in regard to Saint Joseph, and reflect on what this means, especially for fatherhood in our society and in our church, and in regard to the right to life. So important. We pray for that today. We pray for all the intentions relation to fatherhood and in relation to what you need. Please leave your prayer intentions in the comments. We'll all pray for one another as we always do during this special time. Let's turn to the Lord together. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We thank you, Father. We praise you for fatherhood. We praise you that you, O God, are the one from whom all fatherhood flows, the one to whom all fatherhood should correspond. Thank you, Lord, and strengthen fathers. Strengthen the spiritual fathers that are called to preach your gospel and to strengthen your people in their discipleship. We need fathers in the church, Lord, who will reprove when reproving is needed, who will console when consolation is needed, who will give us clarity in the truth of the fullness of the gospel, which is not some kind of charity to us, but which we deserve. We have a right. Lord, thank you for those who preach faithfully the fullness of the gospel to us. Thank you, Lord, for helping all fathers in their vocations. We ask you that today's observance of Saint Joseph as the one called to protect Jesus and Mary will strengthen all fathers as they seek to protect their families. We ask you to give finally consolation to all those fathers who grieve and who mourn, mourning even their own fatherhood because of the loss of a child by abortion, and those who suffer any other kind of loss. Bless and console them with your presence as the Father of us all. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's listen to this reading now from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention. When behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. This is a gospel passage, brothers and sisters, that shows us something amazing. You know, we always turn to the Lord and we say, "Lord, protect us." We think of God as the one who protects us all, and he does. Joseph is given the task of protecting God. It's true to say, in every respect, that little baby, Jesus, is God. Joseph is called to protect God. And of course, the mother of God, Mary. The scripture talks to us about the tasks that God gave to Joseph. Again, primarily this protection of the God-made man. Speaks to us of how Joseph fulfilled those tasks, but doesn't record a single word he said. Joseph, the faithful, silent husband of Mary. He's called the putative father of Jesus. In other words, putative meaning he was thought to be, in human terms, the father of Jesus. But of course he wasn't, because of the reality of what we just read. This child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. But what a model to fathers. You know, he changes his own intention, he changes his own plan, because of the level of trust he had in God, whose will is communicated by the angel, the level of trust that he showed is an expression of the level of trust that fathers have to have. You know, fatherhood all derives from God the Father. And fathers need to rely on him completely with trust that they will be able to carry out the role of protecting their children, their families, their spouses. What a marvelous vocation it is. When fathers are afraid to be fathers, we have, first of all, the temptation to abortion. The temptation to walk away from their responsibility for the child that they conceived with the mother of that child. Child doesn't come about without the father. Responsibility should therefore not be something that they can just put aside. The laws allowing abortion have not helped fathers fulfill those responsibilities, because when you think about it, of course, now we've made progress with the reversal of Roe v. Wade, but in many states, this abomination, this violence of abortion is still allowed. And in some states, the pro-abortion side is trying to put into the state constitutions the fake, invented right to abortion that the court admits it made a mistake when it recognized in the federal constitution. One of the reasons it said it was a mistake, it says, because there was no time in American history that abortion was ever considered to be a constitutional right up until the time of Roe v. Wade. Well, when they say that, and it's true, that means it's likewise true that it was never in the history of California, Michigan, or Ohio, where there's a battle on this very point right now, or in any of the other states. If there was no mention, if there was no assertion of a constitutional right to abortion during all that time, then that is as true on the state level as it is on the federal level. Where all of a sudden are you getting the idea that any constitution would permit abortion? And that constitution's been in existence for a long time, and nobody ever discovered it before? Come on, give us a break. Stop insulting our intelligence. Well, what point I'm making here in regard to fatherhood is that when a right to an abortion is asserted, a right to be exercised solely by the mother, right away that introduces a division in the family. And then remember, the flip side of rights is responsibilities. So the assertion of a so-called right to abortion for that mother is saying to the father, don't worry about your responsibilities in regard to this child. She alone has the right to decide if the child lives or dies. And if she can walk away from that responsibility to that child that she helped to conceive, well, you can walk away too. And yet the law will put more responsibilities on that father if the mother chooses to have the child. Many of these fathers are arguing, well, you know, what's good for one is good for the other. If they can just walk away from the responsibility, then it shouldn't be any of our responsibility either. And this is where just abortion continues to poison our society. And the so-called right to abortion leads to consequences that only weaken the very fabric of society. Strong families, strong society. The family is the cell of society. The other thing that happens in regard to fathers, and by the way, I invite you to watch tonight a special at 9 p.m. that I'm doing live together with a pioneer in the whole arena of fathers' involvement with abortion and how abortion impacts fathers, with Warren Williams. And you'll really appreciate that interview. It'll be on these same channels at 9 p.m. But what Fathers often think in relation to abortion is that they should say to the mother, oh, well, you know, if there's a child conceived, oh, well, this is your choice. It's your right. I'm not going to interfere. And what they fail to realize is how that isolates the mother, how that makes her feel more alone. You're just saying, oh, you decide. In other words, you want to put the full burden of that decision of life or death for this child and of everything that means for the future just on her shoulders, and you're not going to give any input at all. He may think he's respecting her right, but he's only buying into the unnecessary isolation that the concept of a right to abortion as being only a right of that mother imposes on society in the first place and imposes on her. Friends, there are many fathers who, having failed to be fathers, suffer the grief, the pain of having consented to an abortion. On this feast of Saint Joseph, let's pray for their healing. Let's pray that fathers in those situations where an abortion might happen will fill in the gap that Adam caused when he failed to guard the garden. Remember in Genesis when God created Adam and Eve and he created the Garden of Eden, he gave Adam the responsibility to guard the garden. He failed. Because the devil entered in. The serpent came. How'd he get in? I remember standing at an abortion facility, one of the many times I've done so all across the country and around the world, and there was a man there among the pro-life advocates trying to save those lives. And he was crying out to the men who were inside, Adam! Adam! He was addressing them by the name of Adam. He was the first father in the human family. And every father shares that same responsibility to guard the garden, to guard the gift of life entrusted to them. They don't own their children, neither do the mothers own their children. But parents, mother and father together, are entrusted with that life, to be its first educators, to be its first teachers in prayer, to be its first examples of faith and discipleship, to be its first guardians. Saint Joseph, what a model for fathers to humbly, quietly, trustingly obey the plan of God to protect those children born and unborn. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of Saint Joseph, the gift he is to the Virgin Mary, the gift he is to the child Jesus, the gift he is for us now as patron of the universal church, because as in life he guarded the body of Jesus Christ, so now from heaven, through his intercession, he can guard the body of Christ to which we all belong. We pray especially for fathers, Lord. Give them joy in their vocation. Give them joy in their children. Give them strength to guide those children. Discipline where necessary. But above all, trusting in you. Give us fathers in the political realm who are able to stand up and protect us and protect our nation against unfair trade agreements, against exploitation by other countries, against invasion at the border, against infringements on our religious freedom or on the right to life or on the education of our children. Bless us with public servants who can be fathers, or who, if they are women, can be just as strong in advocating for our rights. We sum up our prayers in offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray to our Heavenly Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Thanks, friends, for joining me for this scripture reflection. Again, remember, join me live at 9 p.m. with Warren Williams. I'll also be live at 8 p.m. for Praying for America. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.